Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
It's interesting that what life holds for us and what happens in life, the affairs of life. And, you know, it's interesting. The Bible refers to the affairs of this world. And what I've realized, and I don't think we teach often enough, is, you know, the affairs of this world are stronger than we are. Just in and of ourselves, who we are without God, the affairs of this world are stronger, okay? And they continually pull us down. But then our buoyancy is different when we make Jesus the Lord of our life. Now, greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. See, without him, we could do nothing. Without him, this does not work. That's why so many people say, well, why isn't it working? Because what we're doing is we say, hey, God, why don't you bring Jesus just right alongside right here and everything will be good. You know, I'll have my little good luck charm here. I'll wear my cross necklace and I'll have my bumper sticker and I'm at church as often as I could get there. Man, sometimes it's just too pretty. I got to go to the lake. I got a life, God. That's it. But listen, our life, listen, what happens is that our life begins to take hits. And you can't stop those hits from coming. You really can't, okay? It's how those things hit us really identifies what's in us and who we are. You know, if our house is built upon the rock, man, the storm's going to come, the wind's going to blow, the rains are going to vehemently beat against it, but you know what? Nothing's going to happen. But if it's on the sand, great is the fall of it. See, and so the idea of this now is us realizing who's in us, what it is and what it's about. And I think there's gonna be some clarity that's gonna come today. What I hope happens is today begins to reshape your life a little bit. And some of you guys will say, well, I've been doing this for 20 years. I don't know. No. We've got to constantly be growing and constantly be changing. We got to be alive. We got to let God reshape our lives and just continually reshape it. We are still that clay on the potter's wheel, and it's his hands that are shaping our lives, and we have to allow it. But you know what? In him shaping our lives, it also brings clarity to our minds, because the enemy is the author of confusion. And there's so many things in life where it's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know who to call. I've got a need in our life. And what you have to understand is there's a conflicting message to say that Jesus is Lord of all and then be whining about needs in your life. That it doesn't work. There's not a flow. Paul said, my God supplies all of your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So you know what that makes us? That makes us a needless people. Why? Because it's all determined by trust. See, it's not determined by what we have in our pocket or our pedigree or our education or our background or our bank accounts. It's all determined by us trusting God. See, the world operates by money. The kingdom operates by faith. The kingdom operates by trust. The just shall live by that trust, shall live by faith. And in regard to the things that hit our life, they're simply just tests. And what happens is life is going to test our faith. See, Paul said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Okay? And he talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girded with truth, your feet, the gospel of truth, your loins girded but with peace. But then he said this, above all, okay, above all, take the shield of faith, the shield of trust, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and nothing will by any means harm you. Above all. See, so now I look at my life and I see how faith works in my life and how faith operates in my life and what my life's about. But your faith will be tested. See, the Bible says, and James says, brethren, come, man, realize that count it all joy when you fall into various trials. For the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work. See, so I understand now that there's going to be hits, but they're not hits that those symptoms and that diagnosis, that's not a fight of health now, it's a fight of faith. The market turns, and there's a downturn, and there's a and maybe some sales dry up, or there's a bad report. Man, whose report are you going to believe? It's a test, not of the of your business savvy. It's a test of your trust, of your faith. And see, and that's where I go to the affairs of this world are so strong, really stronger than us. Man, it's taken better people, better men than me have been pulled down by the affairs of this world. But listen, now though, when I activate, listen, that measure of faith that God gave me when Jesus became the Lord of my life, now what happens is greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. That hope of glory is on the inside of me now. So the affairs of this world now become those fiery darts that just get quenched. Does that make sense? See, so now in history, here's how this works. Here's how time is. They measure time, and there's two spheres of that time. There's a before and there's an after. And you know what? The same thing's true in my life, in your life. There's a before you knew God, and there's a but after. And see, and if you really look at it, before I knew Jesus, I was blank, and you have to fill in the blank. And you might say, before I knew Jesus, I was lost. Or before I knew Jesus, I was miserable. Or before I knew Jesus, I was desperate. Or before I knew Jesus, I was jacked. I added that one, that was me. The other ones were y'all. That was me. Before I knew Jesus, I was crazy. And I don't mean crazy in a good sense. Oh my gosh, that guy's crazy. You're like, oh my gosh, that guy's crazy. He's crazy. Sure, you're crazy. And it's that wasn't an admirable trait at that point. But before I knew Jesus, I was, and now listen, all of that stuff now, everything, even atheists measure time by when Jesus was inserted into the equation. It's interesting. So before him, but after. And see, and that's the key. But after I knew Jesus, but after I was set free. But after, man, but now I'm free. But now, listen, I'm not just free, I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm delivered, nothing missing, nothing broken. Now, let me ask you, okay, because we're of reasonable intelligence here, right? And most of you guys drove here. Most of you guys made a decision to get here. Man, no, nobody teleported you here, or you just didn't morph into a person on a chair in this room. No, so you look at this, it's like, okay, wait a second. I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm delivered, I'm completely set free, and I'm free indeed, where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. I am living a needless life now. See, so many people, we try to convince you that you come in here and you give your life to God. God's going to give you power to get finances, and God's going to give you power to get health, and God's going to get you power. No, the life that God gives us is a life of health. The life that God gives us is a life of wealth. He gives us that power to get wealth because it goes with the life. It's not something we've got to crank up and we've got to conjure. No, you know what? Man, God gives us power. Man, look at this, and I believe it's the book of Luke. You guys bring your Bibles? Okay. So let's go to the book of Luke here for a second. And I'll tell you why. Our time at church, okay, you should probably take a picture of this screen or write it down. But our time at church is spent, and it should provoke something supernatural in us. And I'll just tell you, that's my prayer. That's what I'm believing God. The objective of this service is something's provoked that's supernatural in your heart, supernatural in your life, where that begins to take over, where the cares of this world and the affairs of this life and the lust of the flesh and all that stuff isn't stronger than you anymore, that something's activated and is provoked on the inside of you, where now it's like, oh, wait a second, greater is he who's in me than, man, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nothing's impossible because I believe. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. See, that we take on that kind of mindset. But listen to this. Our time here can reshape our lives and bring clarity to our minds. That's what God wants to do. He wants to bring clarity to all of us today. In Luke 24, verse 32, Jesus had risen from the dead. These two guys are walking down the path, walking down the road. Jesus starts walking with them. They are talking about Jesus, not realizing they were walking with Jesus. Awkward scenario here. And when they found out it was Jesus, they said, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? Are you kidding me? How did we miss this?" And I think that that happens all the time in these kind of settings. I think we miss it. I think whatever the need of your life is today, are you ready for this? God's going to meet that need today. Whatever it is that you're questioning, that you're wondering about, the answer comes today. The Bible says God withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. What did Jeremy share during the offertory? That God gives good things. And that's what he does. We are not serving the schizophrenic God that doesn't. No, you know what? We serve a God. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what we have need of. He doesn't withhold anything. We are a needless people now because Jesus is Lord of our life. He is the be-all. He is the end-all. He is how we get to the Father. He's how we live our lives. And you know what? You'll say, well, that's not very sympathetic. Man, I need some rent. I need my rent for this much. Okay, so Jesus went to the cross to pay your rent now? No, we have to really look at this. I think that this is a horrific mindset. I'll tell you, the spirit of poverty is such a strong spirit that it becomes generational. And you know what? I'm not talking about a spirit of poverty where someone has nothing. We've got to help him. He has nothing. He has lost everything. That's not poverty. I'm telling you what poverty is. What poverty scripturally is just enough. Poverty is month to month, hand to mouth, just enough. You have just enough. You got manna every day. Quit your complaining. That's poverty. See, poverty, what ended up happening in the wilderness, that's how we identify poverty. See, Egypt was bondage. The wilderness was poverty. Canaan was the promised land of more than enough. See, and now Jesus becomes Lord of our life. Guess what? God's the God of more than enough. He gave his son, which was a price of more than enough, for us to be able to live a life of more than enough. And I believe that with all my heart, with everything in me. So I think people, to be a Christian, you've got to fight your way into poverty. You got to go against everything God's about to live month to month and hand to mouth. I'm just telling you, I've seen a lot, and you know what I believe a lot of times it is? It's religious, it's pride. And I think that, you know, when we look at this, I've seen a lot more poor people that are religious than rich people that are. I mean, like 1,000 to 1 more. See, so I think we have to look at our lives and then our mindsets. You know, it's interesting because I'll hear Sandy and Vanessa, they'll be in conversations and about people's inner dialogue. And it's interesting because the way I lead, I'll just tell you the kind of leader that I am. I'm the kind of leader, if you came up to me and said, hey, Bill, Shear, you like meetings? I'm like, not really. I don't really want to go to meetings. I don't want to have a bunch of meetings. Like, your life, what do you do a lot? I have meetings. Well, how come? Because it's what? And I'll tell you why I have meetings, why it works for me, is because I have a lot of inner dialogue, just praying and thinking and strategy and advancing the church and helping people and reaching people. And so what I want to do is I want to get with a group of people that I trust and I want to communicate what's in my head. Because a lot of times it sounds differently. It sounds different when I say it than when I thought it. Anybody with me on that? You know, there's some things you'll say, it'll be like, oh my gosh, that's so goofy. It sounds so goofy. I've been thinking that for 10 years, and now I just said it to somebody, and that doesn't make any sense, does it? I retract that. I really don't. And don't really listen to anything else I'm thinking about right now, because I got to get my mind right. But see, that's what this does here. It brings clarity. Man, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Redeemed from poverty, redeemed from sickness, redeemed from premature death. Man, let them say so. Man, we eat good, the fruit that comes out of our mouth. Man, and see, that's what our trust is, what we believe, what's in our hearts, but also what we say. A little bit later in Luke 24, listen to this. Then Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And now listen, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And you are my witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." We receive power to reach people. See, all the stuff, just us seeking God. Just a life of putting God first and seeking God. The Bible promises that all the stuff the Gentiles are seeking, man, will come into our lives. I'm just telling you, if you begin to seek God, if you begin to trust God, if you don't allow doubt and unbelief and fear and anxiety to enter the equation, I'm telling you, there's going to be so much of that stuff that's going to come in your life, because God absolutely wants to bless you with it. He just wants you seeking him and not that stuff. See, there's so many people that, man, I see that stuff has them rather than him and that. Does that make sense to you? I want this to be real. I want this to reshape how your life is and to clarify how you think. I'll tell you why, because, man, there's tests that are approaching, man, that life goes on and you flip the pages in the calendar and those tests are coming into our lives. And how do we get through those tests? That shield of faith. That's all it is. It's a shield of faith that God's given us. Man, where nothing will by any means harm us. The promise of the Father is Acts 1:8. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Power to what? Power to be witnesses. Power to reach people. Do you see God's heart here? God's heart is about reaching people. Not pointing out their flaws, not judging them. Listen, us being judgmental and critical because they don't vote the way we do, because their lifestyle differs from ours. You're like, oh, it's just distasteful to me. It's like, are you kidding me? We, man, our righteousness, do you understand what our personal righteousness without God is to God? It's as a filthy rags. Man, go, you want to go R-rated, go check the definition. Go check the original text of filthy rags. It's not just, oh, it's mildewy. Oh, you walk in, it's like there's something mildewy here. No, it's a stench. It stinks. It clears the room. And that's what my righteousness without God, that's what it is to him. But what Jesus said here, this is the power to reach people. We are good at reaching people when we yield to this power. See, and we're looking at it, man. There's some of you guys I was branded an evangelist in my first years a Christian. I went to Bible school as an infant in Christ. People were asking me, "What's your call?" I don't know. I don't. Well, you know, if you're studying for ministry, you really need to know your call. It's like, so I went to God. I said, "God, I need a call. These people are driving me crazy." He said, "Man, just be a believer." So the next day, somebody came up to me and said, "Man, you ever figure out your call?" You know, like, everybody. I said, "Yeah, I think God called me to be a believer." And a few people go, "Man, that's what I want that call. I want to do that." See, that's the bottom line with this. But listen, he's given to all of us, without measure, power to be witnesses, power to reach people. See, if we're not in this for numbers, if we're not in this for acclaim, if we're not in this for fame, if we're not in this for my ministry, if we're in this just to reach people, I'm telling you, it's gonna be epic. But see, what God wants to do is God wants to take that BC and AD part of your life, and he wants to be right in the middle of it. And that's where your life changes. See, that's how we have to look at this. See, it's interesting. 5 or 6 years ago, we hosted a retreat for the University of Tulsa football program. And the coaches asked me to tell my story. So I thought, yeah, that's easy. I'll tell my story. We fed them some meals and we hosted them at our camp. And it ended up being like 180 people were at this service that we had in this open air pavilion. And it was like an end of July. It was in the evening and there was no breeze or anything. And I let the devil just sit on my head or something, because it's like 20 minutes before we're supposed to start. And I'm going to tell my story, which is so easy for me. But I started thinking, what am I doing? This is crazy. I'm going to tell my story. These guys are 20. I'm 50. I'm 51. Man, it's like prehistoric. It's like I'm a dinosaur. I need to go like to an old folks home or something and tell my story so I'd be the young, cool guy. But which I'll tell you, a part of this series that I'm, the number one, there's five things, but number one is that we seek God. So again, I'm going to put a plug in for the prayer meeting tonight. But one of them is to have fun. And just a little side note here, Sandy and I went to a wedding in Oklahoma City yesterday, and man, we're all dressed up, and she's looking beautiful, and we're riding in the car coming home. We've got a wedding coming. I don't know if you know about that, okay? I pastor a church, and I'm also preparing for a wedding, and the scales of my life go like this, depending on what day it is. And people say, man, what are you doing? I'm going to go out and get in my Harley. Why? Because there's no wedding planning on my Harley. So I hug my Harley. I go home, and I lay beside my Harley and hold it, and because we're not talking about China or flower bouquets or a lot of money. And Sandy has the audacity yesterday. We're driving home, and I'm thinking about how great our life is. I really am. That's exactly what I'm thinking about, how great my life is. My kids, my wife, my marriage. I got my pretty woman right here. And I'm driving, I'm looking at Sandy. She's looking at me. And we're on the expressway, and I'm driving safe because I got pulled over the last time I was going back from Oklahoma City. The guy just gave me a warning. So I thought, okay, I'm not going to roll the dice. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. I'm just going to drive kind of like the speed limit, just a little bit over, but not enough over to get anybody's attention. I'm going to get home, and then, just so people stay out of my lane. Did you notice people were in my lane? They get out of my lane. That left lane's for me. But so I'm driving. She's looking at me, okay? How many guys, your wife's ever just looking at you? Okay, guys look at their wives, they're, you know, it's like one thing. It's not like, I wonder what he's thinking, okay? But the wife looks at her husband. I'm driving down the road, and I'm thinking how, this is pretty amazing. You know, I just took a picture, got to see Brooklyn and Kennedy together, and I'm just driving, and I'm looking, and Sandy's looking at me. I said, why are you looking at me? It's awkward. I said, what are you thinking? She goes, I'm just thinking it used to be fun. Oh, yeah. It was like a dagger, just like this. So I'm like, Sandy, you know how when you're a kid and you'd switch places, let somebody else drive, they'd climb over the seat? I took my hands off the wheel and said, Sandy, you got to drive. Just take over. I can't even breathe. They got the wind knocked out of me. So if any of you guys are wondering if I get weird here in the next few weeks, I'm just looking for some fun. I got to import some fun. If you're saying, man, Sheer, you haven't called me. We haven't done anything. It's because you're not fun. I got to be around fun people, man. I got to find some fun. But that's one of the things, have fun. And so I'm not going to preach that yet. But listen, all God wants to do is be in the middle of your story. That's it. See, that's what your life becomes about. That God gets right smack in the middle of it. And James writes in the first chapter of James, who spent 33 years with Jesus. Man, the only writer in the Bible that could say that. And you know what he said? He said, man, count it all joy. He said, no, brothers, listen, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, for the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have her perfect work. See, the testing of your faith, you're like, man, I'm in a trial right now. You know what you've got to do? You got to rise to the occasion. You just have to step up and allow what's in you to surface. You draw back at all, You try to make excuses, you try to put blame on somebody, any of that, I'm telling you, it's going to pull you down because it's the arm of the flesh. But if you let what's in you rise to the occasion and rise up, I'm telling you, it's the lion of the tribe of Judah, and that heart beats in you. Man, our life becomes, and that's God's will is for your life to be amazing. What I bought into, and I believe God spoke this to me the first 6 months I was a Christian. I was probably just by myself, and I'm like thinking, oh my gosh, what is this life? It's so brand new. I mean, nothing. It's all unfamiliar. How many guys go through things when you get married, you take a new job, you buy a new house, but a whole new life, and it's like everything feels like the first time I ever did it. And I really heard the heart of God when he said, this is the greatest life imaginable. You know, and since then, I've learned the word, and there's a revelation of the word where eye hasn't seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man. The great things that God has for those who walk uprightly, who simply put him first. That's why I'm telling you, seeking God is so pivotal. Man, you'll say, I don't know how to do it. Just come to prayer tonight at 7:30. Man, that'll be a step. Remember, almost the whole theme of this year have just been next steps. Your next step might just be to come to pray tonight. But see, it's just 30 minutes. But see, our life, we've got to insert Jesus into our story for anything to work. And then we realize what's in us. I'm telling you, I'm just looking at this room, and it's like there's something incredible in you. Man, you look at Davis right here. There's something incredible in him. Man, all he has to do is stay on track. That's it. He stays on track. I'm telling you, he's going to live a life that people are going to be jealous of. Man, I've got family. They don't get it. Bill, how you doing? We're doing good. How are the kids? Kids are amazing. Oh, yeah. My granny would say, oh, BS. And she'd say the word. She's, yeah, that's what you always say. It's like, well, so now I got to call her and I got to say, yeah, granny, I got pulled over. Oh, you did. Tell me about it. Yeah, he just gave me a warning. Oh, well, good. And then we're all great because there's a little bit of, it's tragic. But you know, there's a point where God wants you to live a life that religious people are jealous of. And the power, though, listen, goes back. The power is to reach people. The power is not to get stuff. The power, you don't have to work to be healed. You just have to receive it. You just have to walk in it. What did Jesus say to Peter, who arguably was one of the most incredible projects that Jesus took on, was just simply Simon Peter. And he's walking, and he just said, look, hey, follow me. That's how simple the instructions are. He couldn't have known. Think about Elisha. Comes to Elijah and says, Elijah, I want what you have. He said, I'm going to grant you what you want. I'm going to ask you, I'm going to grant you what you desire. And it's a type and shadow of Jesus to us. He said, I'm going to grant you what you desire. What do you want? He said, I want what you have. Elijah said, okay, great. If that's what you want, I'm telling you. He goes, whoa, wait. Let me give me another chance. I want twice what you have. See, if you recognize the heart of God, this double thing is a big deal. Twice, double for your recompense, double an anointing. But Elijah said, what do you want? And Elisha said, okay, I take that back. I want twice, I want double what you have. He goes, okay. And you know, the basic instructions that Elijah gave Elisha was, go where I go, do what I do, see what I see. When we get there, you'll have it. Okay. That's ambiguous. And you know what? Elijah just said, let's go. And Elisha walked beside him. And remember, Elijah got translated, and his mantle fell upon Elisha, and Elisha cried, my father. See, he realized, see, this whole thing, life now becomes an inheritance. That's what the whole thing's built on. This life is just an inheritance. God has written us into his son's will. I've never been written in a will before. I've never received an inheritance in the world before. But you know what? I don't even think about it now. You know why? I'm an inheritor of God's kingdom. And his Holy Spirit is just executing. He's the executor of it. He's just dishing it all out. This is such an amazing life. Jesus just needs to be right in the middle of it.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.